Come on, give the Lord a great big hand clap. Of praise. For he's worthy to be praised. Certainly we honor the Spirit of Christ and to our worship leader, Reverend Felton, and to all of God's people that assemble. I can declare this morning that it is good to be in the Lord's house. But not only that, it's good to be in your presence one more time. We certainly thank God for our visitors and all of you. I just want to make some quick adjustments real quick. I want Jaron Foreman to stand. We want to honor him today because he graduated on Friday night from Pocrimis County, I believe. I believe he graduated with honors because he got out early. But then I think he got an academic scholarship. You're going to East Carolina, right? He's going to East Carolina. Amen. Amen. So we're certainly thankful for that on today. Our prayers and hearts are with Valerie Skinner, who lost her brother. But I believe the funeral is going to be on Thursday at the Holy Trinity. And certainly we want to support her. Many of us know Sis Copeland. She's in Georgia, but she stays in touch with her. Her brother-in-law, her sister's husband, dropped dead Thursday. So in that, they'll be funeralizing him on Friday at Corpus Funeral Home in Portsmouth. I'm going to ride down to that funeral. Hampden was awesome. It really was. For the mere fact that we had some awesome preachers, Cosby, and those preachers that got up every night and day and ministered to us. And certainly, one thing, a lot of things stood out, but one gentleman, when he got up to do the prayer before the preacher prayed, he got up and everybody bowed his head. And he began to go like this: Lord, we thank you for this food we're about to receive for the nourishment of our body. Give us strength to do thy will in Jesus' name. What he did was the grace, but he was praying over the food which we're about to receive. He was talking about the spiritual food. And he took the grace and he worked it to the point that we ought to thank God for the word that's about to receive in a few minutes. For it's going to be food to your spiritual body that you may be able to go the rest of the week, the rest of the day, because you will not be able to make it without the food. And so that in the mind, we've been blessed this year. The president again of Hampton, he has one more year, is Pastor Dr. Dwight Riddick, who's been in our revival on Wednesday night. And he asked Melton Grove, again, he's over 7,000 or 8,000 preachers, and he's the president, but he asked Melton Grove, along with yours truly, to come on the fourth Sunday in July to do his anniversary of 34, 35 years. And so, beloved, that's an honor. And we want Melton Grove to go, and we're going to have service on that Saturday night, but in that, we're going to worship and leave here on that fourth Sunday and go down and be with him. And certainly I'm just grateful because so many preachers from all over the country come and preach at his church, and he's just started, not robbing, just to think a little bit about a little country boy like me. And certainly we're just grateful. Is there a word from the Lord? Yes, it is. I am extremely nervous for the mere fact that I've just been nervous all morning. And so with that, we believe that there is a word from the Lord. If you would go back and look at 1 Samuel. Chapter 16, verse 7. And you will look at it in your book. Verse 7 says the A and a B. We want you to look at verse B. As Deacon Yates has read in your hearings, y'all going to help me this morning. Amen. Come on now, y'all was pepped up last Sunday. They had all that food. They didn't, you know, all that. And the only food you're getting this morning is the spiritual food. Amen. And so with that, verse 7, part B, says, for the Lord seeketh not as man seeketh. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. We want to talk this morning from the subject, looking through the eyes of God. Looking through the eyes of God. Beloved, have you ever met a person who had no flaws? The truth be told, we have encountered many different kinds of people, including families, including friends, including associates on a regular basis. But when we encounter all these people, however, we stumble upon and try to stumble upon a person that we declare that is perfect. It's hard, as much as we try at our best to stumble upon that perfect person, for the mere fact sometimes even when we declare that they are perfect, regardless of their greatness, somehow we discover that there is a flaw. Many people are frustrated with their search for a perfect person. They meet a friend, and initially it appears that it's going to be a great relationship in the beginning. The fine qualities, they're there, the conversations are there, and just in a nick of time, what you thought was perfect, now you begin to deal with reality. The reality is that as much as you try to make them perfect, you will discover that there is a flaw in every person. It's with that we got to learn that if we're going to build a relationship, that we still got to look beyond the flaws and be able to get along with the person. Finding that person, sometimes you look for a strong man, but you discover that he drinks. You look for a good wife, but you find out that she has a spending problem. You look for a person that is quiet, but oftentimes you find out that if they open up a little bit, you'll find out that they're the life of the party. He's a good worker, you discover, but he just can't come to work on time. You find out that he has a gambling problem. And all of a sudden, you feel that you can't get along because there is some flaws. You see that a person that is ambitious, but somehow she just conceited. They hung up or strung up on themselves. You look at a football player, but you discover he don't have sense enough as a spoon. Sometimes when you look at things, sense enough as a spoon. Amen. He really treated nice, but you find out the young man that is treating you nice, you got a problem with him because he's ugly. What you determine ugly is you're looking at the outward appearance. But the man could be the best thing that ever happened to you just because he don't measure up to everybody else's standard. You ask God to give you somebody that's going to love you, protect you, honor you, and work along with you. But the mere fact you upset because he's short, he's fat, bald-headed, don't have anything look like, cross-eyed, and now you all upset because you don't have the tall, the dark, and the handsome. But in the midst of it, you will discover that there are just a few flaws. You're looking at the outward appearance, but God is constantly looking at the heart. And what you got to now learn, beloved, that in this life, people going to have and live with flaws. But if you're going to be able to get along with anybody, you got to learn how to get along with people and look beyond their flaws. Because the truth be told, examine you for a few moments. You ain't always came to church. You ain't always sit here. You ain't always sung in a choir. You ain't always usher. But the mere fact that you had flaws. Grandmama reminded us in the song that God looks beyond our fault and sees our need. This text this morning is a very interesting text. It starts out by the mere fact that Samuel is now given an assignment. And he's now told that he need to go down and first of all check in with Jesse. Jesse has some sons, and one of his sons is going to be declared to be the next king of Israel. Now, Jesse knew what the Lord told him to do. Samuel knew what the Lord told him to do, and he now reports down to Jesse. Jesse now brings up a few of his sons, and Eli was one of his tallest sons, and now he brings him out, and he looks at his statues. He's tall, got dreads, he's nice looking, but all of a sudden, Samuel says, you're not the one. He brings three or four of his other sons out, and looking at their physiques and looking at the way they're built, and all of a sudden he declared that these are not the one. Every one of them that he looked at, they came prepared. They were dressed up for the interview. They got word from daddy that you need to take a bath and wash up and because Samuel wanted to interview you for the job to be anointed king of Israel. You know how daddy makes preparations. He's getting things in order. And all of a sudden he declared that through the interview, every one of Jesse's sons that were brought out, somehow Samuel was not pleased. Samuel looked around. He looked around. He says, Jesse, 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 these are all your sons? He says, yes. He says, I've counted six, but I thought you got seven. He says, yes, I do. I've got one boy that don't really mount up to anything. He's a little skinny fella. He out there in the field. Surely he can't do the job because he really don't mount up to anything. You got to now know, beloved, that when God deals with you, that there are moments in your time when you look at things through God's eyes. Some of us won't move in ministry. Some of us won't work under our anointing because we don't feel like we are adequate. We feel like we don't have what somebody else has, or we can't pray like somebody else can pray. We can't sing like somebody else can sing. And sometimes because of that, we won't release ourselves and let God operate through us in the anointing. You all sitting here this morning, all of you have an assignment. You've been anointed by God, and for the mere fact you can't see your assignment because you're looking through the corner eye. The corner eye may tell you, no, I don't add up. The truth be told, I don't have all that in a bag of chips. And when I thought about this, I thought about my own life just a few years ago when I went to Gethsemane where Pastor Ritty is. We were sitting in the office, and he declared, because we were brothers in ministry for some 20-some years, but I would always turn him down when it came to preaching. He would say, Boone, I just want you to leave Mountain Grove in the morning just for a few minutes. You'll get back, do my 8 o'clock service, and in the midst of it, you'll have time to get for the 11 o'clock. I said, no, I've got something to do. I would always make up an excuse. His resume declares that he's got two earned doctrines. He's pastoring 2,000 members. And I just felt like I was just not adequate. For he trapped me one time. And in trapping me, when we went over that Sunday to preach, I was just as nervous as I could be. The lady that runs Hampton, she's the executive for Hampton. She preached before I did. Sitting there, nerves tore all to pieces. He pulled me to the side and he said, again, I just want to ask you, why did it take so long? You remember he came for our revival and you wonder why it took so long for him to get here. It was me that wouldn't allow him to come because I just felt that we wasn't adequate. He pulled me to the side and he said, Boom. I said, what? He says, I've sit on podiums with T.D. Jakes. I've sit up with Jamar Bryson, you don't think I was nervous? He says, but in the midst of it, he says, it doesn't matter all the time about all the degrees. He says, all you need to realize that you are anointed. It doesn't matter who you sit on the pulpit with. It doesn't matter who presents you, but all you need to realize that there's a word from the Lord. When I now realize, and now when I have the opportunity, I don't feel inadequate. I'm not the only one. Moses felt inadequate. He says, Lord, you want me to go tell Pharaoh to let your people go? He said, first of all, you need to get Aaron because he got a better speech. He says, I stutter. And every time I try to get it out, he says, I just can't get my words in place. He said, but what do you want me to tell Pharaoh? He said, tell Pharaoh to let my people go. He says, if he asked me a question, who gave him the authority? He said, you just tell Pharaoh that I am sent you. I'm the beginning and I'm the end. Getting back to the text, we now discover that after Samuel had interviewed all of Jesse's sons, they had already took a bath. They had already put their finest suit on. And here, Samuel comes back with a word that, no, 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 they're not the one. Right. The argument is raised in the text is because wouldn't you look through the eyes of God? What mounts up to you don't necessarily mount up to God. What you done sold to the side, God picks up. What you done put in recycle, he gets out the bin. What you done throwed in the junkyard, he now goes to the junk pile. He now in the business of recycling. Can I preach this thing later on? All of a sudden, Samuel couldn't sleep. He couldn't sleep that night, and he said, Jesse, I've got one problem. You told me that I interview all of your sons. He said, but my spirit is not agreeing with me. Somehow you're not telling me the truth, because my spirit telling me you got one more son that I haven't looked at. He says, well, Jesse, I do. And the reason I didn't bring him up, because he's out there attending the sheep. He's just a little fragile little boy. He don't mount up to anything. All I just let him to do is attend the sheep. When Goliath got mad and all that, my boys, Eli was out there, all I would let him do is bring the lunch to the boss. But I never would let him get involved in anything. He said, well, bring him to me. He says, I just want to see him. Now, you got to understand, David didn't have time to get clean. He didn't have time to put a new suit on. But they brought David from the field. And he now comes to stand before Jesse with his dirty clothes on, his sheep clothes on, his labor clothes on. Didn't have the time to wash up, put no deodorant on. He just came just like he was. When he got there, Bible said Jesse looked at him, looked at his appearance. And the text says that God doesn't look on the outer appearance, but he looks at the appearance of the heart. Now, all those sons that had been interviewed, all of them was rejected by Jesse. But all of a sudden, this little peeny fella don't look like gonna mount up to anything, now get one of the greatest assignments of his life. If you read verse 1, 2, 3, you will discover that when they did the anointing, they would put the oil in a horn. And all of a sudden, Jesse had the oil in the horn. But every time one of those candidates came out there, he was getting ready to, but the Spirit of God said, don't use the oil right now. All of a sudden, when David shows up, messed up, dirty, stinking, come out of the field, but all of a sudden, God anoints him king of Israel. Can I pause like that? Because the mere fact some of us come here on Sunday morning, I know we got clothes on and I know you done washed up, but spiritually you come in here dirty. Spiritually, you come in here in your mess. When God looks at you, he looks at you like you look at David. All of a sudden David gets anointed and you would thought he would leave the field to go to the king house. But that ain't what happened. The text says that he pulls the oil on David, anoints David, and now send him back to the field. Can I preach this thing like a walk? Now, Reverend, why did he go back to the field? Because after God anoints you, there are moments of preparation. You got to now get ready for God to do what he needs to do. In David's moment of anointment, he didn't have a fanfare. He didn't come in there with robes. He didn't have altar boys. He didn't have nobody wiping him down. But when they got finished anointing him, God sent him back out there to attend the sheep. Well, Reverend, where you going with it? What God told him was, if you learn out here how to take care of these sheep, if you know how to watch out for these sheep. You remember David would always talk about how he looked out and fought for his sheep, how he tangled with the lions, dealt with the bears, and when time came, he was able to deal with Goliath. That's when you discover, beloved, God now allows us to look through his eyes. When you look through God's eyes, everybody is somebody in the eyesight of God. It bothers me because we've got certain people that we get up for, shake hands for, and then we walk around other folks. But the person that you miss might be a David. They might be anointed. They might be the ability to open a door for you down the road. In the midst of it, I know you're always talking about what they done and what they used to do, but you got to understand, they still got their sheep working clothes on. And because they got their sheep working clothes on, God is not through with them yet. Am I right about it? If you read anything about David, you will discover later on he became king of Israel. He had the best that life could afford. God granted him the power to elevate him. And I can imagine sometimes David used to just pinch himself. But not only that, can you imagine what his six brothers thought about him? The one that interviewed with the clothes on. And all of a sudden, y'all done seen player haters. Those that work on your job, work beside you, now they want to understand how you ride and what you ride. Living where you live. They get the same check you get, but we was talking about in Sunday school with something called favor. David had the favor of God in his life and upon his life, and for that reason, he was able to survive. So when we leave this morning, we want to leave with the word of God looking through the eye. Of God. When you look through the eyes of God, you always look with a possibility. You always look with a chance. You always look for a moment of forgiveness. You always look for the mere fact, I'm not totally concerned where they come from, but I am concerned where they're going. We spend too much time worrying about where somebody come from. And I've been here 25 years and I don't really understand because I'm not totally a native from here. Our conversation is about where you come from. I went to school with them. I played on the football team with them. I played basketball. Baby, that's 30 years ago. And you still talking about what happened 30 years ago? You mean your life ain't moved in 30 years? Help me, somebody. You mean you still talking about snooking them places down there, down the road where you had a good time? Come on, baby. They're not coming back. Why are you still talking about the good old days? I've come by to remind you, they were not the good old days. The Bible says, eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard. What's in store for them? Do you want to go back to them days where you was chopping wood? Do you want to go back to them days where you were bringing coal? Do you want to go back into them days where you had to catch the bus? Do you really want to go back to them days? The good old days? No, they're not. They weren't good old days. They were days that we made it through. Help me, somebody. But the truth be told, we're living better than we ever lived before. So in the midst of it, we've got to change our thinking. We've got to change the way I live. We got to get up every day with a purpose in our life. Help me, somebody. We standing around talking about what we used to do. Well, sit down and talk to me from now on. Tell me what you plan to do. Tell me what you want to do next month. Tell me what you want to do by December. Tell me what you have in plan for 2018. Tell me what you want to do for 2019. Because when I was coming along, they told me to put out my plan starting 20 years old. What do you want at 25? What do you want at 30? What do you want at 35? And what do you want to conquer by 40? And I remember writing down some things. How many houses I want to have. Things I want to accomplish. And in the midst of it, we seek towards the goal. The reason God can operate through you is because you're stuck on neutral. When you get stuck on neutral, anybody that drives a car, you can't go forward. You can't go backwards. And basically, the only time we put a car in neutral is when the car won't run. If it breaks down at the light and you need some help, all of a sudden you put it in neutral because you got two people pushing you. Is your life in neutral? And the only way you're going to get off the bench, the only way you're going to do something is somebody got to come along and push you to the point. Looking through the eyes of God means that I don't have time to dwell on what somebody else is doing or what's transpiring with them. But I've got time to deal with me. And when you deal with you, if I spend 6 months minding my business, and 6 months, leaving yours alone, then the year is gone past. The text reminded us that God doesn't focus on what you wear, where you live, your haircut, your hairdo, your weed, whatever. He ain't focused. He not focused. You focus. Because as soon as somebody walk in here, girl, hey, I wore that color that last Sunday. You can't hear nothing the whole service. Because you trying to figure out, it's theirs. They bought it. Let them wear it. Huh? Huh? Why you worrying about them? That ain't about you. Right? But you're stuck in neutral. God turns around and look at the heart. And in that, when you look through the eyes of God, there ain't a person in the world that I ever gave up on. For the mere fact I always consider myself, even if they were drinking or drunk, and I've hung out with them. But looking through the eyes of God, they can leave from their drinkenness or their problems or their addiction or whatever they were going through. Just pause and look at yourself through the eyes of God. You ain't always came to church. You ain't always done what you're doing now. Now, after you finish looking at you, begin to walk into your anointing. David walked into his anointing. When they dropped the oil on him, he was anointed. You are anointed for a purpose. Time is winding up. You just want to come to church, go home, come to church, go home, come to church, go home, go. No, that's why ain't nothing happening different. But if you start walking in your anointing, God would allow you to lay hands on people. And they will be healed. They will be delivered. Demons will be cast out. And people will be set free. The church will become a church of transformation. And when it becomes that, you're now looking through that. I'm going to close out, but when I had the chance to go to Texas, and we was there at T.D. Jakes Church, T.D. Jakes set up what is called a VIP corner. When I first thought about VIP, those were the big wheels sit. Those were the people that were banking, had it going on, clout. Well, when I got the true story, I discovered that that ain't what happened. What they did was they went to the hedges and highways, and they got folks that were less fortunate. And all of a sudden, they would send them to the beauty salon. They would send them to the barbershop. Everything paid for by the church. They now goes into the store. You get to pick out what you want to wear, what you want to put on. And everything was paid for by the church. So when you got cleaned up, hairdo, dress, everything, you now come in church and they sit you in the VIP section. In that section was prostitutes, drug dealers, what we consider low life, didn't measure up. But they were called the VIP, the very important people. The church began to grow because you took very important people and you now looked at them through the eyes of God. Right? Now, when you help a person to get up and take care of themselves, they now can do the same thing for somebody else. our mentality is not to help you up. I was looking at some crabs in a bucket. And what I looked at was the mere fact that they declare us as crabs in a bucket. And when a crab tried to get out the bucket, we pull them back in. So I asked somebody, why do you have all these broken legs of crabs? Because the crab realized that they had to lose a leg to get out the bucket. It's with that. This mentality has to change. We got to start looking at things through the eyes of God. We got to start looking at people through the eyes of God. And when you look at people through the eyes of God, how does a person measure up to you? What gives you the right to draw the measuring stick? The Bible said we all sin and come short of his glory. If you look back over David's life, David would have told you, ain't no way in the world. But Samuel saw through the eyes of God. Go home and read it. God does what? Looks on the outward appearance. Man looks on the outward appearance, God looks on what? What is your heart? It ain't that beating, pumping blood. It's that innermost soul of you, the caring part of you. Though nobody knows what's going on in your heart but you, right? I bless y'all.